It's okay. You're approved at Sunrise Immediate Financing, top trading, and a $3 million used car inventory specializing in cars and trucks under $20,000. Remember, you can bring your Chevy to Sunrise for service no matter where you bought it. There's always a sale at the Sunrise Chevy Ranch, 385 in Houston Levy. Together, let's drive.
With T-Mobile, you can get tons of benefits and still save. It's like getting romance and sci-fi.
I love you. Also, I'm a robot.
With T-Mobile, you can save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. See how with our savings calculator at T-Mobile.com/switch. Plus, we'll pay off your locked AT&T phone up to $650, and you'll get a new 5G phone for free. Pay off via virtual prepaid card in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits with qualifying plan and credit, plus tax and $35 connection charge. Contact us before canceling to continue bill credits, or they stop and required finance agreement balances due. See T-Mobile.com.
So my home is also my office. And before I can focus, every room's got to be clean. That means tidying up and spraying my Febreze Air Mist. Ooh, that's fresh. Febreze Air Mist scents are all high quality. They fight any weird funk, and they give my air an instant boost of freshness. So not only does my home smell good, I feel good, too. After I Febreze, it's time to start my day.
Breathe happy, Febreze, la, 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 la.
Some people just know the best rate for you is a rate based on you with Allstate. And look at you, hands perfectly placed on the wheel. Not like the driver to the right of you who's really going after that drum solo. Save with DriveWise in the Allstate app and only pay a rate based on you.
Not available in every state, subject to terms and conditions. Rating factors and savings vary, and in some states, your rate could increase with high-risk driving. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Memphis is number one place for sports. This is WMFS-FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis, flagship home of the Memphis Grizzlies. 92.9 FM, ESPN, and Odyssey Sports Station. Now, it's Jason and John, live from the Leaders Credit Union Studios on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Get some money, they playing. I told her, take this plan, B, and stop playing. I'm tired of buying jewelry, finna buy some land. They still trying to figure out who I be. Pillow talking to these, they weak. They say money talk, put diamonds in my teeth. I be Louis down with Jordans on my feet.
All right, let's go. You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Happy Friday to you. John and I, along with producer Pam, very excited to be here on this final day of the week. We got plenty to discuss. I don't know if you guys saw it, but there's a certain four-star quarterback that'll be committing tomorrow, as the word out of Georgia. We've talked about him. Memphis Tigers football certainly going to be watching when Antoine Hill makes his commitment tomorrow at some point. Would be the highest, and I've seen this over and over again, John, highest rated QB prospect ever commit out of Memphis out of high school, should they get him. So Memphis football continues to roll, and tomorrow they could be getting some really good news. I've seen some that believe Antoine Hill will be picking Memphis, also has Florida on the list, obviously. Look, Shams was right, or was he right? Either way, JJ's in.
He's feeling validated, I know that.
Okay, so you got JJ joining a list of, you know, guys like Steve Nash, Magic Johnson, Jason Kidd at one point, guys who had no experience, Steve Kerr, right? Guys who had no experience getting head coaching jobs. We'll see how he does. And I have to take a breath on this one. Because you know what? I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to pull back the curtain. I've been longing to hear from Penny Hardaway.
No, like really, really hear from Penny Hardaway. Not the golf tournament.
We didn't want to answer
side
questions.
Side swipe. Though.
I've been longing to hear from Penny Hardaway because we wanted to know, right, sort of, you know, where things stand right now. He's got a lot going on, obviously, with his roster. Got a lot going on with the staff. We're sort of still looking for some clarification there. But, I don't know, Munz's mailbag seemed to be pretty clear. We've got an open spot and some other shifts and moving positions. And then just the you know, coming off of the loss of David Jones, just where things are. So we've long wanted here, feels like for a few weeks at least, maybe longer, to talk to Penny. Penny talked yesterday.
Yeah, and before we get to that, and yeah, we'll definitely, when it's time to get there, we'll definitely, you know, yeah, we'll get there. But Penny did have a very open and transparent and just candid conversation yesterday, in a way that we just haven't heard from him.
Exactly.
Maybe not even just since this year, but like I think since when he got the damn job. I mean, honestly, and it was just a window into the way that he's feeling
exactly,
you know, and
right
way now, that he's
that's
perceiving
what we've wondered.
Things, yeah. It was all extremely, I think, telling in that regard. nothing newsy, I would say, nothing like earth shattering, but in terms of the man and how he feels about his life and his job and the community going into year 7,
discussed his mom at length and what he's going through. With
yeah,
him.
Absolutely revealing in that way.
Absolutely.
So we'll talk about that. Have a few snippets that we'll get to here in just a moment. Anthony Sain going to join us at 11:25 or so. We'll talk to him about this. Get his thoughts on the Grizzlies. We're less than a week away from the NBA draft. And so we'll get his thoughts on what he thinks the Grizzlies will and should do, what he's hearing on that front, that he'll join us at 11:25, 11:30. Then at 1:25, the man, the myth, the legend, the one and only Norton Hurd IV is going to join us. 1:25. We'll talk to him about Memphis basketball, his summer coming up, what he's got cooking, maybe some NBA draft. Do you know if he has any Team Thad guys up this year?
I don't think so.
Okay, well, maybe he needs to get back to that. Get back to what made him great. You know, we can't have any gap years for Team Thad. You know what I'm saying? Mm. So I know we'll get back because who is it? My man Jasper.
Jasper Johnson. Darion Reed made it in the NBA before Jasper Johnson.
Yeah.
Like, he's got guys,
yeah.
Bro. Top 10 guys.
Yeah. So we'll get back to all of that with Hurd at 1:25. So looking forward to catching up with him. But yes, Penny Hardaway sat down for an extended conversation yesterday with John Best and Marcus Taylor in the Taylor Made Sports Show, during the Taylor Made Sports Show on 88.5. I think it was like yesterday evening,
mm-hmm.
is when that all took place.
Yeah, shout out to Marcus Taylor and to John Best for landing the interview.
Yeah, it was an
extended, as you said, over an hour long with Penny there, in a way that we have not seen him. I would say, at least here locally, right?
Absolutely,
he opens up a little bit to some of these national podcasters,
like
these NBA guys,
yeah.
Right? Like we've talked about, but. But not in this way locally.
They never ask the Memphis-centric questions.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? They
and
don't
so,
really know the
right.
questions to ask.
And so what Marcus and John Best were on yesterday was a revealing in a way that we questions we have not been able to ask Penny.
Correct.
So shout out to those guys for landing that interview.
So two things are going to happen here. We have two snippets that we're going to play, and then you have transcribed some other things that were noteworthy throughout the interview.
Some may be, but I've got a few things.
Yeah, yep. So we'll get into all of that. But first, the first clip we're going to play is Penny responding to the media coverage in Memphis that he gets. This is Penny Hardaway on his coverage in Memphis.
I just think it's an easy target, bro. I mean, I was warned about this years ago about my reputation and who I am in the city for taking a job at Memphis because they knew anytime anything went wrong, I was giving them an avenue to just go at me. And by us not making the NCAA tournament, I'm an easy target. And it's not even about reporting about what we do and how we do it. It's more personal. Mm. I can read through it. I see everything, man. I keep all receipts. I see everything that they do. And I just laugh because every single thing this year, from the smallest thing, has been reported or an article written on, and there's been a lot more negative and personal things towards me this year out of all years because it was just, to me, it was a layup. It was an easy target. Mm. We started off great, had an injury to Caleb Mills. Everybody wants to ignore that. Then we go into the conference tournament without Malcolm Dandridge. I'm the worst coach in the world as far as, like, coaching. And I don't know, man. It's just, it's crazy to me. Because
20 wins every season.
I can't lose my focus because there are people out there that really do care about me and really care about Memphis basketball and care about the things that I do. People are trying to normalize me. That'll never happen. Mm. You can't normalize me.
So Penny says, you can't normalize me. I don't really know what that means, honestly. But you can't normalize me is what Penny Hardaway says. And it says he feels that the coverage last season was personal, that it was not about basketball, that it was personal. Do you have any thoughts on your opinions of the coverage and why he might feel that way?
Again, I realize that based on the way last season went, that the coverage leaned and tended towards what some would call negative. But I would ask again, anybody saying that, was it unfair? And I think, you know, Penny later on in the interview points out,
right,
some of those losses, absolutely, I should have been called out for. Now, he points that out, but there's also this, and yet you guys are coming after me personally, and I'm trying to find, I guess, where it's gotten personal, where people are talking about Penny the man in terms of the coverage. So what I'm trying to say is I felt like the coverage last year was fair. You know, at one point we're lauding Penny for having them 15-2, despite behind the scenes having all kinds of stuff that he's telling us about, and openly and honestly, these chemistry issues. They're 15-2, they're number 10 in the country. We're saying, man, Penny should be looked at for some Coach of the Year stuff. And then it all fell apart. And we said what? We said this is unacceptable. And so, perhaps it's something we've missed, but the personal attack side, I'm not understanding. The job of the Memphis basketball coach is always going to be one that's scrutinized. When you're winning, you're going to be lauded. When you're losing, you're going to be scrutinized.
Right.
I don't think that's shifting towards a negative or personal. Again, if Penny's pointing to a specific story or something like that I don't know about, but then there's that. But I don't think the coverage got unfair last year. The comment about normalizing me, you know, to me it's like you can't compare me to other coaches is what he's saying. You know, you can't. I'm not a normal coach. I'm different in the sense that, no, you know, yes, I didn't come from the assistant coaching background, everything else, but I'm Penny Hardaway. I'm the former NBA star. I'm the guy who's done and has, and rightly so, you know, a ton for this city. And so don't try to compare. The way I took it was like, don't try to compare me to others. You cannot normalize me. I'm different. And my whole thing is, yeah, you are. There's no question about it. It's part of the reason why you got the job with no experience. But you're always going to be compared. Here's where you can be different. We're talking about, you know, 7 years, Josh only having two tournament appearances. Like, all that's measured the same for any coach. You know, it would have been for Cal and anybody else. That's where you're not different in terms of winning on the court, in terms of selling this program. You're going to be compared to the previous coaches just the same, even though right. you're Penny Hardaway. You have to be held to a standard. And so, again, clearly Penny is feeling a way in terms of the, you know, where things stand right now in terms of people's appreciation of the job he's doing. It sounds like he doesn't think he's getting enough. But I would tell you that the coverage was probably fair last season. Last season was a debacle.
They normalized Patrick Ewing at Georgetown. They normalized Chris Mullen at St. John's. They normalized Clyde Drexler at Houston.
I mean, ultimately, it's the job you wanted, and so you're going to be measured on the results, right? We can't say, well, Penny, the guy we hope one day makes a Hall of Fame, can have, you know, 10, 12 seasons of, and you know that later on he points to some coaches who struggled their 11, right. 12 seasons and says, basically, you know, those guys, it wasn't held against them, you know, struggling. And I'm just, I get the sense that, again, he feels a personal attack. And a lot of times, again, when you get to this point, and maybe a coach hasn't reached the type of results he wanted, and he's hearing a little bit of that criticism out in the world or whatever else, you get defensive. And I thought a lot of this was a very defensive Penny Hardaway that's like, look, I'm doing a good job. You guys need to back off. I'm the man for the job.
Oh, yeah.
You know, let me do my thing.
Yeah, he had his paws up. There's no doubt about that. But, I mean, I think for the first 2 to 3 to maybe even 4 years of his time at Memphis, he was probably defended by Memphis media. He was probably, you know, protected by Memphis media, if I had to honestly weigh in one way or the other.
Locally, we were bragging on him last year.
Yeah.
When he was 15-2 and number 10 in the country, saying nobody's done this since Cal.
Absolutely.
So, like we've been in that corner. And I mean cheering when, again, he's deserved it, when the results have been good.
Yeah.
And they keep using this Caleb Mills card.
Absolutely.
That when he fell, well, man, that's the reason the season all fell
apart.
As
if he was 2016 Russell Westbrook.
And, again, you cannot put that on one player. And if you do.
You had a whole season to adjust.
It's still an – it's still a testament to the rest of the roster that you built that was not strong enough without one guy. Again, Penny would tell you, I'm trying to build teams that are deep enough, right, where you can pull out a guy, right, they're deep enough, you can sustain an injury. So my point is you can't hook all of last season on one injury, which, you know, he's continued to point that out. Is how much, and Caleb Bills did change things. But there's no that was not an excuse for the way things went after he went down.
Yeah, like I don't really. And then Malcolm Dandridge, like I can't even believe he brought up Malcolm Dandridge.
Again, Penny was telling us, man, is the chemistry issues. It's losing your identity last year defensively, falling into the 100s. Losing one guy is not an excuse you can use for falling that way. And he'd tell you they lost their identity. Tell you he went all offense, he says it late in the interview, instead of going more defense. Well, that goes back to you and the way you built the team.
Yeah.
And so, I would just say, I don't think it has been unfair.
Yeah.
When Penny has been winning, this city has been 100% behind him. And frankly, I tell you, even when he's losing, he's still got 100%. A ton of the city because of who he is.
Absolutely.
But when fair questions, it feels like to me, or fair questions are asked, sometimes Penny is taking them as personal. Again,
yes.
Point me to the article that has been a personal attack on
him. I mean, look, I've written a lot of columns about Penny Hardaway.
But I'm hoping this is not representative of an end, and we've got more another clip here, but I saw this, too, from Josh. And I mean this vibe, and I'm not trying to compare the two. Penny says, you can't normalize me. Don't compare me. I mean for this. By year 7, Josh is saying, why aren't y'all writing stories about football attendance dropping? He had gotten so defensive about the criticism of his ability to do the job. Right, started trying to, divert attention, trying to control things that were out of his control, but asking questions that you just, when a guy's reached a point where he's clearly frustrated, he doesn't feel like he's got a 100% approval rate, you start to see a defensiveness. And it was there yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, I can honestly tell you that, people have this view of media that it's this binary entity, that it's either in or out, right? That it's either you either support or you either tear down. And I would say that media is simply, and I wish coaches understand, and I get it because he's in it. Media is simply a mirror.
Well,
for the most part,
I would tell you this is where it is different for Penny. Like, if we're going to be real about this, let's be real. Locally, here, he is cheered on by local media. What are you talking about? Like, I we've said it openly. Like, maybe we're a little different now in terms of I'm not on the beat anymore day to day. But my point, I'm rooting for Penny. When he does well, it feels great because he's a program legend that we all came up rooting for. So it is a little bit different in that sense because he's a guy that we all want to succeed. And so when I hear about agenda and media that wants to see him fail, who's that? Is it these out-of-town guys? It's certainly not you or me,
right,
that grew up and knows his... So in a way, he almost gets a treatment that other coaches don't get. And the way that he's cheered on locally by media. And again, this isn't to say what me and you are doing,
right,
but Penny clearly feels like people are out in the media are out to get him. Who? Most of them cheer him. Most of them, they love him. They wear his shoes, everything else. What are we talking about here?
Yeah.
He is treated differently. Last year you had bad results.
Right.
And so ultimately what he feels like is negative, criticism was going to come.
Yeah, it's very easy to stop it. It's very easy to just stop all the criticism. I promise it's the easiest thing in the world to just silence it, and that's just make the tournament and win some games. I mean, like, you do that, I promise we won't be having this discussion about media coverage. I mean, it's just about – there's no coach in America that goes to the tournament consistently, wins games in the tournament consistently, and has to talk about negative media coverage. I promise you that. There's not a single soul. So this is not about media coverage, okay? And he knows that. He realizes that. This is about wins and losses. It's just that simple. Now he goes on because we have another clip to get to here. He goes on to talk about his view of his job status, what he should do, and what the program would maybe look like if he ever decided to move on from it. This is what he had to say.
We've had conversations.
It don't matter who they go get.
Come on,
it's gonna be hard on them. It's gonna be hard on them.
Come on, man.
I'm just telling you, man, this is not an easy job. I'm not making any excuses. I am not going into my seventh year where I want to be because my standards are high.
Yeah.
But per college coach and the ladders that you're climbing, I was really ascending until this year when we
Yes, sir.
We failed.
Yes, sir.
And it doesn't sit well with me.
Yeah, I know.
And you got somebody in your corner that's always constantly thinking about how to be better, how to get it right,
yeah, man,
how to get us past. And yeah, I'll man. Be the first one to go, hey, man, I can't do it. I'm done. Before I let somebody else that's just a hater tell me, you need to leave because
you'll
y'all
take
don't
the
understand.
You'll absolutely, take all you don't have to. That.
Yeah,
I know
you
what it is.
You got somebody you love to say, "Man, we've done all we can do."
Because I feel like if I leave, it's gonna go down hard.
I love it. Oh, I love it. Yeah, that's what you're supposed to have.
So I gotta take the bumps and the hits right now. I'm fighting in the ring and in the corner right now.
Yeah. Ooh.
I'm fighting both.
What are you doing?
I'm fighting both.
What are you doing?
Because I know if I quit.
He come
it's
on my show,
down.
This is what it be.
You already know.
I'm just telling you.
I told y'all, this is what it is, and he come on the Taylor Made Sports Show.
I'm just telling you.
I
that's
told
how I feel.
You. This is why I'm going to let
because
him lose.
It's too hard to recruit.
Yes, sir.
It's too hard about the conference, and you got to have an unbelievable non-conference schedule just to get some respect, or you got to win conference championship every year just
so
to get to the NCAA
so
tournament. When
so that's that on that. What
man. You I just hate seeing Penny so defensive off top. I hate him feeling attacked when Penny is the one that wrote the narrative, essentially. I mean, Penny is the one coming in, and he points it out saying, I want all the smoke and everything else. And it seems to really bother him. Again, I'd point out, it seems to really bother him that when, again, he failed last year, stories are written, and he says that you're trying to make me this fallen, you know, hero when I failed. And Penny, of course, doesn't look at these 6 years as failing. Dude, it's part of the story. It's part of the first 6 years. And so, again, setting aside whatever he feels like are personal attacks, being judged as the basketball coach, it's all part of it. And we watched Tubby Smith and we watched Josh Pastner, and Penny watched it from the front row on both of those guys.
Yep.
And we watched them get scrutinized to a degree and get defensive and everything else. And maybe with Tubby, the 2 short years, maybe Tubby less so than Josh, but we watched those guys get defensive about Memphis and the criticism of the guy in the spot. So my point is Penny knew what comes with it when he got it. And yet here we are in year 6 after, yes, some very successful years, but a falling apart of last season that's left some sour taste in a lot of people's mouth. Here we are in year 6. You've written the story with the results. Yes, some people aren't happy. But again, that's the nature of being the coach of Memphis basketball. And so I hate to see him at a point where he feels like this is about him. That, John, he feels like it's about me, Penny Hardaway, and folks wanting to see me fall, because this is the story for any Memphis basketball coach, right? They love you 1 minute, they hate you the next. And that's extremes here, because I tell you still, much of the city loves Penny Hardaway. But that's the point. And so you can't take that personal. What did Josh tell us? He was taking it personally. Since we've had him back now that he's been a media member.
Right.
Says he understands it different now, and especially he's going to have a real understanding of it because he's on the media side, but he realizes now that all of that wasn't personal against Josh. The guy who is in that seat is on a seat that's going to be scrutinized, and yes, sometimes it's going to be harshly. Some people are going to stop believing you in you, and that has clearly happened. But instead of Penny looking at it as that's personal, which I feel like is the space he's in right now, John, he's got to look at it. That's the nature of it. And frankly, he asked for it when he decided, you know what? Yeah, this program's better off under me than it is anybody else. And so that was, I hate to see him struggling with this at this point in his career because, you've been in it 6 years now. And if you've still got this thin a skin, that's not a good sign.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a good sign because, again, you can only control what you're going to control. John, you're not going to be able to control every single mind in Memphis, every single media outlet, what they write about you. And so it's almost that same point where I'm seeing a guy who's taking this also personally. Brother, it comes with the territory.
Yeah, I just disagree with his – view that it is personal. I don't think it's personal for anybody. So I think when you start there at the root of it and you're just
– But can you see why he would take it personal?
No,
he's
the coach
of Memphis. We just watched Josh do it and tell us I did it.
I understand why he would do it,
and
but
so,
I'm telling him that
so,
it's – I'm
so,
telling you it's not personal.
Oh, I'm with you completely. I'm saying the same thing.
Yeah.
And my fear is if you don't understand that now through 6 years.
Well, like people believe it is like it's not just Penny, right? People also believe that like it's this anti. Like I had some guy tweet me yesterday that he doesn't like you, just accept it. Bro, I don't care whether Penny Hardaway likes me or not. Okay, that does not. I don't think about that for a single solitary second. All right, the only thing I care about is whether or not he is doing what he said he would do, which is leading this program back to consistent relevance, leading this program back to consistent NCAA tournaments, and finally breaking through. And he's not doing that. And if he does it, guess what? I'm going to say he did it. And I'm going to be happy. I'm going to be happy for him. I'm going to be happy for the program. I'm going to be happy for the fans. This is not hard. This is not a difficult conversation. I have no ego in this, right? And I think the problem is Penny has a lot of ego in this. You can hear the ego when you say you can't normalize me, right? What did Kendrick say? Take the ayahuasca, strip the ego down to the bottom. Last year was your ayahuasca. That should have stripped the ego down all the way to the bottom. Like, what did we do? What did I do? Forget we. What did I do? What did I not do to keep that from happening? And what can I learn to make sure that it never happens? I didn't really hear that yesterday from him. He did acknowledge that it was a failure, which I appreciated. I appreciated it because you really hadn't.
I mean, he said he has sleepless nights.
Right, right.
You know, trying to get it right. But I believe him on that. I believe right. He doesn't like coming out and having a program that's looked at as one that's irrelevant.
But, like, apply the fire and the energy that he seems to have for his perception of media coverage in Memphis to his team and to building his team and to making sure that you've got all the pieces that you need,
yep.
That you make the tournament, which, I'm. By the way, like, again, I've said, if he makes a tournament this year, he's coming back and should come back. Like, you're not getting an unfair shake in Memphis media. Like, we don't need to revise history here. You brought up Josh. By this time in his tenure, going into year 7, bro, it was absolutely like nobody wanted to talk about Josh. Nobody wanted to hear from Josh. Nobody wanted to, when he came on the radio shows, it was like, why are you having him on? I'm sick of hearing him talk. I remember that. You remember that. You know, people were checked out of that thing. And the fact that there's still hope from people in Memphis should really tell Penny all he needs to know about the difference. And you are getting, right, the distinction of being the legend, being the civic hero. You're getting that because we're going into year 7 with the same results. Actually, excuse me, let me back up. Worse results than Josh had, and people still hold out hope. So that's the difference. But it's not about media, man. It's not about Joe Cooper. It's not about any of all this other stuff. It's about you. It's about you. It was always going to be about you, and it's about you today. It's going to be about you tomorrow. It's going to be about you at the end. Can you take this program where you said you could? And that's the only thing that's going to matter in the end. Forget the rest of it, because if the wins come, we're going to be on here celebrating just like we were when they were 15-2, because that's the way that the machine works.
Yeah. Ultimately, that's it. And again, you know, this is we're not going to measure Penny any different ultimately than we did Tubby, Josh, Cal, all those guys. Because
absolutely, we got Tubby out of here after 2 years,
and,
bro.
And Penny would tell you, he'd be the first to tell you there are expectations, and he did that, and he said he's not reaching them with last year. But again, and he's right. Like for 5.5 years there, we're saying, look at the job he's doing. Like up until 15-2 last year.
Yep.
You know, that's what we were saying. And so, and I didn't hear Penny's, you know, then complaining about media coverage.
No.
Right?
No. Because they were winning.
And so the team got bad last year. The coverage got critical.
Yep.
Because you're falling apart. And now everybody's against you? No, man. I mean, that again,
exactly.
You cannot take this personally, I think, is the way I would bottom line.
Exactly, because it's not.
And it's not. It's not. And I'm not talking about from us. I'm talking about with Daily Memphian. See, they mentioned Grind City Media, whatever. Like, that's part of it. And there's a part of Penny that seems to understand that, but there's also the part that comes out and tells you he's keeping all receipts. Like, he knows what everybody is saying.
Right.
I watched Josh care too much about that. I'm back to John, what he's saying there. Control the controllables. I try to tell Josh that. Control, get that identity back. That team, like he's talked about, lost its defensive identity. We were saying it during the season. Like, what's happening? We don't recognize that. Get that back. Control what you can. Because I do believe that Penny believes he's the man for the job. And I do believe that Penny believes, right, that he's going to give it everything that he's got. But what he can't do is let what it looks like, and a lot of times fair coverage, or hey, maybe you go on Twitter and see some hate.
Yep,
brother, you can't let that be the thing that You know, he said he points out. He said I could quit right now, and he's right. He could. But here's why I will push back, because I can feel him. I can feel the frustration. I hate it for him. But he said it's going to go down when he's gone. And I said this to somebody else this morning.
He said hard too.
He said it's going to go down hard, and it might in the immediate. He might be right. But here's my point, and he pointed out how it's one, and I appreciate this about him. I want to be real clear about this. I appreciate that he said it's one of the reasons I'm still doing it despite all these arrows or whatever, because I don't want to see it go down hard. But that's the point. Penny believes that, you know, if he leaves it, it might be done. It might go. And I am always one who has believed, and I said this to somebody who's covered that program, watched that program for a long time too, for generations, that it's bigger than one man, okay? Because it's the city's program. It's not one man's program. And I'm not accusing Penny today of saying this is mine. But that's my point, is that Memphis basketball going to be okay?
Yep.
Okay, in terms of, yeah, maybe it'll go down for a year or two. But these people are saying that, oh man, there's no future in Memphis basketball if Penny Hardaway decides to step down. I just push back on that. It has always survived, and it survived because of the city. It's the city's team. Penny came in talking about that. And it always will be the city's team. And that's why I look at that position more as a gatekeeper as opposed to it's your program. It's the city's program.
Exactly.
And that's why I said you owe it to the city. I was talking about this with Jeffrey yesterday. You owe it to the city. Tell them what the plan is, how you're feeling, what's going on, because it's theirs. And so I hate to see him taking this so personally and feeling like, hey, man, you know, I keep taking these arrows. I might have to step down. But where I will push back is Memphis basketball is always going to be bigger than one player. Penny's a legend. It was bigger than Larry Finch. It's bigger than Cal. It's bigger than Gene Bartow. And it'll be bigger than Penny. And so the idea that this thing can't go on without him,
exactly.
I push back on that.
100%.
Because this city is not one man. This program is not one man's. It's the city's.
The whole way.
I hope what he feels like are personal attacks don't keep him from getting, you know, he's not so sensitive and thin-skinned that it keeps him from getting this job done.
There were some
Because here's what I think you can't normalize. I am still rooting for him.
Absolutely.
I want to see him. That's why I do think we're different. We give him the benefit of the doubt. We're all hoping and pushing for him.
Again,
in other
this
cities,
is not,
it would not, you know, it probably ain't going to be like this.
Other coaches
that way.
In Memphis, it would not be like this.
Man, we pushed Tubby up out of here.
Two
I mean,
years,
what are we talking about
we
here?
We wasted no time. All right? He's going into year seven with one tournament.
We said, this is not the right fit. He's got to go. Right? And we want Penny to be the right fit.
Absolutely.
And so, really, I mean, he's got most of us with him.
But that doesn't exclude him from criticism.
But we have to
right?
hold you to
yes.
a standard that even you would say is the standard.
Absolutely right.
And so we can't take it personal when we do.
So when you have, understand that when you are turning over an entire team year after year,
we said,
understand.
That's hard. It's going to lead to bad results like the analytics you've been pointing out.
You're turning over staffs. Year after year. And he even talks about that he's still learning how to hire. But again, this is, you know, this is year seven. You know, you don't get 15. It's just not true. It's not the way it works. You can't. So that's, you know, you're not above that. I know he says you can't normalize them, but A, the results have been pretty normal at Memphis. I mean, they've been pretty average if we're really going to boil it down. So if we can't normalize you, maybe we can normalize your results. And B, there is just an expectation in the modern day of college basketball. Memphis has the resources. Their NIL is crazy. Their NIL is crazy competitive with pretty much anybody. And yeah, the league stinks, but your non-conference is really good. You've got all the opportunity, the facilities, yep. the support. You know, I mean, it'd be one thing if he was operating with one hand tied behind his back, but he's not. He's not. And so I just, you know, again, I understand because it's him. He's in it. He feels like I'm what I am to Memphis, and I should never, there should never be a false word about me, but it's just not the world we live in. And I'm going to keep it a buck about the Memphis basketball program regardless of who the coach is. And it's not personal, because if it is personal to any extent, it is personal. Just like you said, bro, we are rooting
personal
for that
man. Personal in the sense, we're rooting for him. I said, I mean, to say it's not personal is not being completely honest. We're rooting for the man.
That's personal.
Grew up rooting for him.
That's personal.
Him. I hate to see him this frustrated, but I feel like I've seen it before. You know, guys start, you know, worrying about things they can't control.
Right. Well, there's a lot more to talk about. We'll do that. Anthony Sang going to join us on the other side, maybe continue the conversation with him, get to the Grizzlies and more. Stick around. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
92.9 FM, ESPN, Memphis' sports station, on the go, on the Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app. Follow 92.9 FM, ESPN. Rewind any show, any segment now. 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Black Tie Moving is changing, moving in the city of Memphis. They are the only team I could ever recommend, would ever recommend using, because I've used them twice. I know exactly firsthand the kind of work they do, how professional they are, how they stay on time, how they stay on budget. You know, I was actually trying to move some furniture the other day in my house, just a small piece, and threw my back out, basically. Scratched up my walls, like, just a stark reminder that I am past my prime when it comes to anything physical. And that's where the guys at Black Tie Moving come in. They save you potentially throwing out your back. They save you a bunch of time, and it's well worth it. It's well worth it. They're going to show up. When they say they're going to show up, they're going to stay on that budget. Get on the schedule now. 316-6196 is the phone number. It's booking up fast, as it always is. Black Tie, one of the most in-demand moving companies in Memphis. So call today. Get on the schedule. It's Black Tie Moving. They're changing moving in the city of Memphis. Call today.
I'm Bob Burke, founder and chairman of Burke America Parts Group, a family of brands that includes RepairClinic.com, an appliance and HVAC parts solution company that's grown into an international brand. Before AmericanEagle.com, we partially launched a new technology platform developed by another firm. American Eagle helped take our technology to a whole new level with digital marketing, software development, and business insights into our key markets, appliances, HVAC, and outdoor power equipment, and did so both on time and on budget. AmericanEagle.com has the resources, experience, and talent needed to produce solutions. Our new technology platform developed by AmericanEagle.com has produced tremendous results with higher traffic, conversion, engagement, and online revenue. If you have any home repairs you need to take care of, check us out at RepairClinic.com. If you need a world-class website or technology project, then I would highly recommend AmericanEagle.com.
Call AmericanEagle.com at 773-NETWORK. That's AmericanEagle.com, 773-NETWORK.
Join the free smoothie party at Tropical Smoothie Cafe on June 21st for National Smoothie Day. We're treating our Tropic Rewards members to a free smoothie with bowl or food purchase. Order an app online or pop by the cafe for a little sip and chill. Three cheers to our Tropic fam. Terms and conditions apply.
Don't miss a minute of the action on the Diamond with ESPN Bet. The exclusive sports book of ESPN is the only place to find offers and promotions from your favorite ESPN shows and personalities, including daily odds boost and home run specials all season long. New users can get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee. For problem gambling support, call or text the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
I'm Dan Morgan. One question many people wonder is, does the law firm I hire for my injury case matter? Of course it does. At Morgan & Morgan, we've invested millions into making sure your experience from first call to your settlement is so easy. You can literally start your case right from your couch in just a few clicks. You'll also be able to text your case staff and lawyer anytime you need. We're America's largest injury law firm for a reason. Injured? The choice is easy.
At Robert Irwin Jewelers, we've got choices. You can get natural diamonds or lab-grown diamonds. Or you could go to the Bahamas, maybe Mexico, or how about a four-night cruise for two?
Okay, I wasn't expecting that. What's going on?
As part of the Summer of 1,000 engagement sale, with any purchase of $24.95 or more, you're going to get a free vacation getaway for two.
That sounds like the RIJ way.
Save up to 40% off during the Summer of 1,000 engagement sale at Robert Irwin Jewelers, going on now. Bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices, free financing. See a store for complete details or online at rijewelers.com.
Get ready, because the Gossett Mitsubishi Motors Summer Sales Event is on, and now is the best time to buy. You want 43 MPG highway? We Gossett in 2024 Mitsubishi Mirage, $18,960 or $279 a month. 2024 Mitsubishi Outlander Sport, we Gossett, $27,350 or $399 per month. And your summer adventure starts with 2024 Mitsubishi Outlander SE, we Gossett, $29,865 or $449 a month. Plus, every Gossett Mitsubishi comes with Mitsubishi's 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain limited warranty. That's Gossett Mitsubishi, 1870 Covington Pike, online 24-7 at memphismitsubishi.com.
If you want it, we got it at Gossett Motor Cars.
LaRoche, RHFO 9083, MSRP 19460, Sport, RU01 10764, MSRP 28070, Outlander RZO 53896, MSRP 30895, PF 695, acquisition fee 595, 15 cents excess mileage, excludes tax, title, and license. See dealer for complete details. Offer valid to end of the month with approved credit dealer stock only.
Are you looking for a savings account that pays a great rate with no requirements or restrictions? At Leaders Credit Union, you can accelerate your growth with Forward Plus High Yield Savings. No minimums, no balance tiers, just a great rate, currently at 4.25% APY. Keep your money accessible while earning more with Forward Plus from Leaders. Open yours today at leaderscu.com. Federally insured by NCUA.
This afternoon, partly cloudy with a high of 94.
Weather brought to you by USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable. Turn shipping to your advantage with USPS Ground Advantage from the United States Postal Service.
Now, back to the Jason and John Show, live from the Leaders Credit Union Studios. Let Leaders Credit Union champion your financial story at leaderscu.com/ESPN. 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Anthony Sane is the host of the Anthony Sane Show on Bluff City Media, the tribal chief of Grizz Twitter, independent journalist, and founder of Asylum Media Group, father of five-star 2032 multi-sport prospect Gabriel Sane. You can follow him on X at Sane Asylum. And he joins us now like he does every Friday around this time. We're grateful to have him. Bro Sane, you see Penny?
Yeah, man. I watched it in its entirety today. I got a text message of the video, and I watched it. And, it was...
What'd you think?
It was good. I watched it like one and a half times. I think it's good that Penny has a safe space.
He got to vent.
Yeah, we can get his stuff off, man. I don't mind him being able to do that at all. I mean, how many, like you said, he's gone on national podcasts and he's, talked about stuff, but not with guys who really know him, know the city, and know, you know, what he's going through as the coach of University of Memphis. I thought it was really good. It was good that he was able to be candid like that. I of course know John Best.
Yeah, I was gonna say shout out John Best, yeah. Marcus Taylor again. You know John Best well.
Yeah, he's someone I consider a friend, and you know I had my show at 88.5 with Asylum Media Group. Shout out to 88.5 for that. And I don't know who Marcus Taylor is, but he was quite
Taylor Made Sports Show.
Yeah, he was quite entertaining.
That's my guy.
I gotta get to know him, man. I gotta get him on the Anthony Sane Show, man. He's a pretty entertaining dude. Cause he said he was gonna be throwing lobs, and he literally was. Like he was literally setting Penny up very well on the show. So I enjoyed it. It was really good. I'm glad Penny.
I thought they were gonna just start going, you know, media outlet by media outlet. You know, just get Penny's opinion on the coverage of each media outlet.
And I got a question. Like, they said Grind City Media, right? And when I did a little digging, I heard that it was something that Jessica Benson said. And I was like, man, Jessica ain't said nothing bad about nobody.
So
like,
we hadn't discussed that, but very early on in the interview, Grind City Media is brought up as somebody, maybe it's some of the negative coverage.
And I hope that's a mistake, because I'm like, I know Jessica ain't said nothing that warrants anything. Like, she's not.
No, she's very controversial. She's a controversial figure.
No, she's not, man.
Maybe it was Gary.
It had to be Gary, bro.
I don't know.
Again, he's weighing in on college basketball and on Memphis.
And Penny, often.
Quite a bit.
Anything Jessica says about Tiger basketball has to be in tongue-in-cheek.
Like, I talked
about the whole Joe Cooper thing tongue-in-cheek yesterday. I just think it's a ridiculous story. Like, who cares what Joe Cooper is going through?
Well, he's the son of Rodney Newsom. Stepson.
I mean,
I'm just saying,
we care because he is a. I'm with you because I brought up the same.
He's
point.
A walk on. This is a walk on.
But in this case, he's the son of a Tiger who played with Penny, and he's a Memphis kid. You know what I'm saying?
That.
So a Memphis kid saying
you.
I had a bad experience.
It doesn't invalidate his experience, but I understand where you're coming from.
But is this experience any different than any walk on at any school in the country?
Fair. And he's also like not getting the experience of a scholarship player, which
right.
But again, when you'd think. When he and Rodney are both calling you, and Rodney played with you,
again,
you
know, he deserved an answer. That's the bottom line. He deserved some clarity on whether
Penny,
he can come
we
back
know
or
too, is going through things, and he touches on the interview with mom, you know, and taking care of mom. So that's the issue there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I sensed do you believe his premise that if he leaves, and he pointed out I could leave right now, that the thing will go down?
It could. I don't think he's on the absolute wrong side.
I should have asked it this way, down to stay.
Of course, down in the immediate as possible, almost you would expect that. But I mean down to stay. That's the sense I was getting from him. And maybe John had a different sense. But I got a sense he was saying down to stay if I leave, not just in the immediate.
Well, you know, we had this conversation, and people were mad at me for saying it. But, like, what has this program been? John Calipari took over this program when I was 20 years old. It's 2024. My entire adult life is University of Memphis, Calipari to now. What has this program been outside of John Calipari, outside of, you know, some being in the middle of bad conferences to sometimes being at the top of bad conferences, no real run of dominance in these conferences? Like, would it be surprising that things go down when Penny leaves? I mean, that's not.
Well, I mean, you've been. You were going to Final Fours and everything
else. Seven Sweet 16s from 73 to 95.
Here before Cal that we got to push back.
I'm 44. You're talking about something happened before I was born.
Well, no,
I'm talking about the last 25 years.
Well, I mean, so you have two bad hires, right? With Josh and Tubby, right? So. Do I think Memphis could hire a coach that could take them to a Sweet 16 in the modern era? Absolutely. I mean, I think Penny still could do it.
Right.
I don't.
But here's the thing. Let me sum up what I'm saying. I think that if I've said this to any microphone that's placed in my face when it comes out to Penny Hardaway, if you are expecting a long-term championship run, like we go make the tournament, we make the Sweet 16, we're back next year, we make the Elite Eight, next year we're in the Final Four, whatever. If you're expecting that type of run, Penny Hardaway is the most likely scenario for that to happen. If you hire another coach who comes in, he gets a couple years of making the tournament, or they look good, he's gone. Like, this isn't a lifetime.
I mean, that part
job.
Is true, that your guy who does is successful, or you'll get called.
He's going to be gone. Like, then you're starting back over again. Penny's not going anywhere.
That part is true.
I think we talk a lot of fantasy talk when it comes to Ken. Well,
cool with that, by the way. I'm cool with a guy coming in, killing it for 4 years, and getting called up to a blue blood.
Yeah, and we may have nothing to show for it. We might have a Sweet 16 run. You know what I mean?
Which, again, I would take at this moment.
Right. But then you can become, and we saw it in football, you can become the hot program that gets the hot guy, and he uses it as a springboard. That can actually be an attractive thing.
But like I've said in the past, with the climate of the NCAA and NIL money and, you know, the major conferences and all that type of stuff, expansion and not expansion, are these conferences going to break off and do their own thing? Who knows what Tiger basketball could be in 10 years? You know what I mean? Like, we kind of avoid those type of conversations. But what I'm trying to say is, Penny, him making those comments, he could be absolutely, like, wrong, like talking out of his ass, or he could absolutely be right. Like, the program could totally fall off when he comes in. Because will somebody else take this job, and is there NIL money available, all those type of things? Cool. But you could have a revolving door of coaches where as soon as something gets hot, they're gone to the next school. You could be like FAU, who had their crazy run with their Final Four team, and now they're whatever they're going to be for now until eternity. You know what I mean? Because when is that going to happen again at FAU? You know what I mean? So, and we're in the same conference they're in. And like I said, we're all older people. John's younger than me and you. But like I said, in the past 24 years, this program really hasn't been much of anything outside of a John Calipari run. And just to assume that things are going to get better or things, it'll be back. 24 years, bro. Like, this is what we're talking about. Like, and we just kind of act like, you know, this is the city's team, this is this, and they'll be this, and, you know, the city loves this team. The people that we're calling the city aren't the city anymore. There's a whole nother generation of adults coming in that aren't passionate about Tiger basketball. And it's almost like it's almost to the point where it's an annoyance, the things that we say about the University of Memphis, because flat out, they don't see it the way that we see it. And that's a reality, bro. Like, that's something that we have to accept as even the media in the city. Like, that's another thing, too. And I was thinking about that on the ride over here. One thing that Penny is saying, I'm sure that I'm probably jumping your question.
No, go ahead.
But one thing that I would like to say is that the only thing that bothered me about the interview is this, and I think y'all hit on this as well. We talked about this last week. We were talking about people being jackasses on Twitter, right? Like, I've got almost 10,000 Twitter followers, right? Every day there's somebody that does something that says, has me like, man, that really made my day. Like, somebody might call me the tribal chief of Grizz Twitter. Like, it's this guy, Chris Connolly, on Twitter. We were talking about the buns and basketball thing, right? The nothing but ass thing, right? We were joking about that. He said, saying it's something all the time that you hit me to that makes me appreciate you as a Twitter follower, right?
Right.
And we were just joking about that. We were DMing, and I saw DM history of me and him and talk. I met him at Black Lodge. He came to 9-1 Wrestling.
Right.
It's those kind of situations that happen almost every day that I really enjoy, right?
Yep.
But in the back of my head, it's one guy that can be a jerk that can just make me forget about the countless people who support me, who
absolutely
watch my show, who buy my merchandise, who do all these things, right, who care about my kid, who've given me free tickets and stuff. I forget about all those things just because of some nameless idiot on the internet, right?
Yep.
And the thing that concerns me about Penny is that he gives too much air to these little baby fires that are out here. In the city of Memphis, there are much more people in the city of Memphis that are like me, who are literally fans of Penny Hardaway, right? Who Penny Hardaway was by Michael Jordan as a kid, you know what I mean? And to a lot of other people in the city of Memphis, he was as well. And there are a lot more people like me who show up in a radio station with a Penny Hardaway shirt on and go on Nike.com trying to find phone posits or a pair of pennies to wear or buying, you know, University of Memphis gear or Penny gear or whatever, who are legit fans of his, who are also covering him in the media, or his literal friends who covered him in the media, or people who are so indifferent or don't really understand what the buzz is about Tiger basketball anyway, because they're in the NBA market, who don't really have any strong opinions about Tiger basketball one way or another, that he's really creating a monster that's not really there. And I'm not trying to be funny. I'm not trying to tick anybody off, but let's just call it what it is, bro. They're the only people in the city of Memphis that really say anything critical about Penny are Jeff Calkins, Mark Giannotto, who ain't here no more, Eli Savoy, who cares? And nobody else is talking about Penny. Like, it's literally nobody else who has anything negative to say. Gary Parish he'll be so fairly critical that it comes off as unfairly critical. But there's nobody else in the city of Memphis that says anything bad about Penny. But what he's doing is, yeah, if you got, like, columnists in the city who are saying something about you, those things are going to be elevated. But he's just giving too much air to those fires. Like, and it's like, it seems like on that show, he was talking about some people who aren't media, who also may have influence, that are talking about him, whether that's coaches or...
Yeah, I got like some people maybe even in a circle almost.
Yeah, because
like,
he was like, you know, a lot of stuff when my guy, because that guy, Marcus Taylor, is a friend of his, right?
Right.
He's pointing at the camera. I think he was talking to people that have nothing to do with media.
Because like, he was like, Penny knows. Penny yeah. knows. Like, I mean, yeah. obviously, if I write something, everybody knows. Like, yeah. I'm not, you don't have to wonder about how a media member feels,
yeah.
right?
And it's like, I just... As a fan of Penny Hardaway, the man, it bothers me to see him that pressed about what people have to say. Now, are there people who say things, whether it's personal or not, about him, who have a agenda against Penny and reasons to have an agenda? Cool. That agenda might simply be, I wish somebody was here that I would have more access to,
mm-hmm.
or would show me more personal love, or I could get a full interview with, or would come on my show, or whatever. That might be a reason why someone would be super critical of Penny, irregardless of what he's doing as a coach, right? Because there are people who that could be my reason. Whoever the coach is, or it might be this one particular coach, if they let Penny go, I can kind of push this narrative to get this guy in, or this might be my plug, or this guy might be a connection. Those things are real. Those things have happened in the past, whether it's at University of Memphis or other schools, where media doesn't want one coach there because there's another coach they'd rather have there, or an assistant coach that they might get promoted or whatever. Those type of things are real. But it just kind of bothers me that he lets that kind of stuff bother him so much. Because there's so many people, whether you're fans or media, that really have Penny's back, man. And he's, like, really pointing – he's, like, really creating, like, ghosting out there, man. That part bothers me more than anything.
All right. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think that is a theme that, you know, look, I get it on some level. You need some, you know, I mean, the greats do that, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I've talked about this a million times, but the best ones, Brady used to believe that people were out there existing that thought he sucked. He's the undisputed yeah. greatest quarterback that mm-hmm. ever existed. Now, again, I also think that there have been people that have, with platforms, that have been, I think, fairly critical. I have not seen a personal attack locally on Penny. Do I think maybe some national people did, like Dan Dockage, for example?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Dan Dockage, it was yeah. personal for.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And has been.
But yeah. that even speaks to what I was saying. Like, he's a Tubby Smith guy.
Yes.
Like, it was because of Tubby, I'm attacking you.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's that type of stuff.
But, so, like, in terms of the locale?
It's not nearly as – there's a lot of people – there's not nearly enough people to even talk about.
Not,
I said, when you're talking about columnists, that's – I yeah. get that, but not to
but I don't, I mean, I don't even think saying Penny has to win next year is a bit all that necessarily negative. That it's true. He does
I don't,
need
I don't
to.
Think that's particularly true. And that's another thing I meant to say, too. I know I was forgetting something. I think one thing that Penny does and something that he constantly says without saying it is that I think Penny believes that because of the things that he's done in his career as an NBA player, because of the things he's done with Memphis across his chest, not literally but figuratively, the things that he's done, you know, as a philanthropist or things in the community working with kids – those things are without question, right? I think because of those things, he believes that he should get some level of grace as to coach of the University of Memphis. I don't disagree with him with that. But I do understand the part that because he's the coach of the team, it comes with certain criticisms. Those things are happening. And it's impossible to look at a season like this year and not be critical without sounding weird. Like, there's no way you can look and see what happened this past season on and off the court and be like, well, that's fine.
Right. Ultimately, you're measured on the results.
It wasn't good. Like, and if you're saying otherwise, you're being strange or you're in a position where you really don't have to cover the team. Because there's no way that you can cover the team as your job and not be critical of what happened this past season. So it is what it is. But the thing about Penny, y'all know anytime I make an analogy, it's going to be either about wrestling or comic books, right? So I have one for what Penny is going through. Penny Hardaway being the coach at the University of Memphis is like Batman taking the job being over Gotham City Police Department. We've watched him protect the city as Batman, but him being the chief of police is not the best job for him. It seems like it would be. But because of the things that come with that, he can't be Batman anymore. You know what I mean?
He has to operate with his own sort of set of, or lack of set, of rules and
it's like,
particular laws.
Right, and when Penny said, okay, you can't normalize me. You really can't, bro. Like, he's not like the guy who, oh, my dream was to be a college coach, and he's not Dan Hurley, bro. You know what I mean? Like, he's not, you can't really treat him like that because he's not going to really allow you to treat him like that. And he showed you that on the radio yesterday when he said, like, bro, like, I could quit this tomorrow and my life will be pretty good. You know what I mean? So, that's an unfortunate part.
Yeah, I mean, the situation is not normal, but right. He is stepping into a position where,
he's Batman being the chief of police of Gotham City. Bro.
You remind us every chance you get, you don't have to do this.
Right.
So, and it works both ways. You don't have to do this.
Right.
If you got too much going on, X, Y, Z, you don't like.
Yeah. It's a weird situation, man.
I'm not advocating for it, but, I mean, the option is there.
Yeah. It's a weird situation because, like I said, nobody in the country is this, not even Coach Prime. Coach Prime has no ties to Colorado. He has no ties
to
Jackson State. You know what I mean?
If he went to Florida State,
it'd be nuts, just like this, right? There's no equivalent to this in college basketball.
Or just sports at all.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
It's definitely it's unique. That's why all of this is a little touchy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But like I said, the best case scenario for all parties involved is to give Penny time to do what he's going to do. And I'll stand on this. People get mad when I say this. Bro, what is the University of Memphis? Like I said 10 minutes ago, what is University of Memphis basketball in the past 25 years, my entire adult life, so to speak, well, literally to speak, outside of the Calipari run? Like, what is he doing? If he comes back this year and they're second, third, first, win the conference, go to the tournament, whatever, that's no different than what our expectations should be for this team. Like, he's not, and I expect that to happen. I think they're going to have a good year this year. You know what I mean? So, like, what are we really expecting this program to be? And we've kind of...
Man, he wasn't expecting. He didn't come in here and talking about, I'm going to take y'all to tournaments every other
like
year.
He
man,
he's
talking about national championships and runs, and that's what he said
it
was going to be.
Every other is not even.
I mean, that's
happening.
Not just making the tournament and that being okay, that's okay, Memphis basketball. No.
Right, but here's the thing.
And he wouldn't have
Josh
said that coming in.
Josh did make four
here.
Straight.
Let me respond to that.
And we ran him out because he didn't get past the first weekend.
And because Josh
that
Passon
wasn't good
the,
enough.
Josh Passon also had the very unfortunate job of coming
Pascal
behind
following
Calipari.
Yeah.
All right, but here's the thing with Penny. He said this on the show as well. And this is a strong word, but it's a true word. Out of Penny's own ignorance, he came out year one, I want all the smoke and shooting them out of a rocket and flying them to the moon and, you know, NASA landing space shuttles in FedEx form, and Penny comes out with, you know, astronauts and all this. Like, he did all those things that brought out a decision to him, but that was out of ignorance or lack of understanding, right? And he realizes over the years, because that's now turned into the University of Memphis barbecue day or University of Memphis kids only event. You know what I mean?
Like, madness.
He's toned it all the way down, you know, over time. You know what I mean? So that's turned into a student pep rally at this point. You know what I mean? On campus at El Moron. So like I said, he's learned from that in his immaturity and his greenness on the job. He called himself, I'm still a pup in the game. There's still things that Penny has to learn. And he's still managing how to hire assistant coaches and what assistant coaches and balancing, like, okay, I want to take care of my guys who I know are going to go hard for the city when it comes down to being assistant coaches or on staff or doing whatever. He's still managing those type of things, the duality of being a citizen who loves the city of Memphis and wants the best for the city of Memphis, and also having to be the coach of the college basketball team, which is the most storied and most historical program in the city, regardless of, you know, what the Grizzlies are or whatever. The Tigers, like you said, are the most storied. The most history comes from the University of Memphis. The Grizzlies, like I said, the last 25 years, the Grizzlies came in that span of time, you know what I mean, since Calipari was here. So it's tough, but like I said, it just bothers me to see him, that criticism gets to him like
getting
that.
Getting to him. That's the point I made to start this whole thing off.
And I know this is, I know this will probably get some people upset as well on the other side of the argument, right? Like, as fans, we kind of got to stay out of there, bro. Like, we can't, like, hop on. Like, when we see Penny's like, okay, Penny's kind of tripping because it really ain't that many people against him. He's got way more people for him than against him. We can't jump in and be like, oh, y'all some haters. Like, no, there's ain't no haters, bro. It's not even half. It's not even a quarter of us that are haters, bro. You know what I mean? So it's like we can't enable that and, like, jump on this, you know, it's us against y'all. Like, bro, it ain't many of y'alls out there, bro. So,
yeah, that's bad.
Don't give
yeah,
it
Yeah, so, like, it's like we kind of, it's like I see people who.
It's not really as divisive as people trying to make it out to
be. Like throwing gas on something.
No doubt.
And, like, making stuff messy.